Hello, everyone. We just got through recording our podcast. Kathy, I had this thing on the whole time and didn't even have my mic turned on.
Hopefully the web camera thingy or the Mac microphone, that's what I'm trying to say. Sounds pretty good. So Kathy, I want to try something. Will you raise your hand? I want to promote you to see if you can, I want to see what it looks like. If there's a way that I can hide you, make a co-host. Nope, it just does this. All right. Kathy, make a side note. So, you know, look at her back there. She misses her mama today. So you're going to need to raise your hand if you want to get coached. We are going to be doing all the things today. Also, if you want to use the chat, the amazing Kathy Hartman, the co-host, is over there. You're going to need to turn it on to all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, you'll be just chatting with me, and I'm not going to be chatting with y'all. She's going to be chatting with y'all. If you have a question that you need answered, if I can get to questions, sometimes we have time at the end, I will do that too. So you can use it, you can populate it in the Q&A. That's if you need me to answer it. And very often, though, Kathy is way skilled and very capable of answering most of your questions as coaching comes up. Let me see. This week, the self-sabotage course released. So make sure that if you want to take it, that you're taking it. I'm going to be with you guys. We're going to have calls this week on Monday. Coach Betsy is doing models. So I highly recommend all of you who are working on models or you are like, these models confuse me. Coming to a model class where Betsy is going to be helping people clean up models and explain models is super helful. It starts seeing you, letting you see how the model works in action. Then we're going to have on Wednesday night, as usual, will be the coach's office hours. So you can just come to office hours. You can raise your hand and all the things. And then on Thursday night, you're going to be working with me. So if you're taking the self-sabotage course, you can come with your worksheets. We're going to be doing, I believe it's worksheets 1 and 2. I'll tell you in just a second which ones we're doing. Hang on. No, it's worksheet 1. We're going to be doing our stories. So if you'll come with the stories that you have around your weight and around your things, if you'll bring that with you, then what I can do is I can coach people on the stories they're telling themselves. And I want to use this whole month to truly move the needle with you guys on ending your self-sabotage. There are lots of things coming up this next month for you when it comes to the self-sabotage. So just be on the lookout for it. But self-sabotage is out and it's ready. And for all of you who check your massive action line, bingo is here. We're doing May Slay Bingo. So you guys will get an opportunity to do just some fun things to keep yourself motivated during May and do all this stuff. Let's do a question and then we'll start coaching. So if you want to get coached today, you need to raise your hand. You also need to be seated. Don't be walking around. You know, this bitch gets car sick real easy. So don't be walking me around. I'm not a dog. Don't walk me around. I'm housebroken. Can you suggest how I get my brain to start accepting positive thoughts about myself? Should I be writing them over and over, repeating affirmations? How do you do it? Yep. That's it. If you take the self-sabotage course, we're going to be talking, like, you will learn the 4-step process, but it's basically super simple. You're going to come up with stuff you want to believe about yourself, and then you're going to have to tell yourself that shit every single time the old shit comes up for as long as it takes, which is probably years. I'm just going to tell you, and y'all don't need to get sad about it, because I love me. I love me a lot. But most of the time, I love me because the first thought is like, well, you suck at that, or ugh, your legs look like shit. Like, it's usually like, that's just how your brain works, guys. Everybody's brain judges them, and it judges them harshly. Here's why. Back in the day, we just did a podcast on this. In 20 BC, you needed to judge everything harshly, because if you walked outside your cave, a puma would come racing out of the bushes to eat your ass. You had to judge berries. You had to judge everything that was going on to keep you safe. We live in 2020. There's no pumas. There's nothing coming at us. The majority, even during the, like, we are all going through a fucking pandemic. And we're going through a pandemic, and guess what? 300 of my closest friends are on a Zoom call getting coached about weight loss. Like, we don't have as much danger as we create for ourselves. So if I don't have someone breaking into my house all the time and cars making me have human frogger when I go for a walk and stuff, guess what my brain does? Oh my God, I wonder what they thought about you. I bet it's pretty shitty. I bet she just thought your ass looked too big to be standing in this grocery line. I think that they're thinking you shouldn't even be eating all that stuff. That's what your brain does. Your brain creates the drama. Your job is to hear drama and then redirect. Hear drama and then redirect. The only way you're going to believe the new story is if you tell the new story often enough to where your brain gets automatic at redirecting. I'll let everyone know when old shitty thoughts stop happening. I'm only 15 years in. Just going to like let you know it ain't that bad. I have lots of shady thoughts about myself. I just don't whine about it anymore like y'all do. Like, oh my God, it's not working. Like, you know, I wrote a love letter to myself one time last week, and for some reason, the rest of the week, I beat myself up. Like, yeah. Like, if you had to, like, write your name with your right hand and then write your name with your left hand, that would, like, be you saying, I'm so disappointed that the second time I wrote my name with my left hand, it wasn't easy, automatic, and I was now a lefty. I'm just so upset about that. You would know it's going to take time and practice, and you may never get as good at writing with your left hand, but you do it. That's it. And yeah, I would write every single day nice stuff about me. Give some equal airtime to the shit. For the self-sabotage course, what is the eating environment story supposed to talk about? That one confuses me. Your eating environment, your pantry, your refrigerator, your house, what's in your environment? So like if you work at a job, like do you have access? Like what is your story around having a vending machine? What is your story around like free donuts on Friday? What is your story around like, is it hard because your kids like to eat junk food? That's your story. We all have stories about the environment of food around us. When does No BS membership open up again? I'm asking for a friend in June. So it's going to be opening, I think it's June 17th, if I'm not mistaken. June 17th. There is also a big announcement coming out. Just for all of you, just know that there's going to be a workshop that's going to be virtual online for self-sabotage for the public, and you are all coming for free. So we are going to take, it's not exactly what you're going through. It's going to be like a full day immersion. So you guys will have the competitive edge where you've already gone through all the things with me and stuff. And then we're going to take, they're going to be doing different work because you're working at a high level with our self-sabotage. This is going to be like, all right, like practical things that somebody off the street could know, but it's going to be like a 6-hour workshop, very similar to relationships. And then you guys will all get to come. So we will have it for you. And if you can't come, guess what? Because you're members, we will send you a link for all the replays so that you'll have access to everything. So all of you are just going to get it. So you don't have to worry, but the public is going to have to pay for it if they want to come. We've had so many people reach out needing help and they just can't wait till June. And I don't want to open again like this month and stuff. I don't want to open like this week and stuff. So it's at that weird time right now, you know, with all the things that are going on with the COVID virus and people are, you know, at home or transitioning. People just need help right now. And so we're just trying to come up with ways that we can help people. But I know the reason why we wanted to do self-sabotage for you guys this month is because it is such a big thing and y'all have been asking for it forever. So we finally pulled together your course. And so I want you guys to have this as like the extra, it's almost like the adrenaline shot in the ass, so that you're working with me in the course, you're working with, like, you've got the course, you've got the workbook, you're going to work with me. We're going to dive into your worksheets and stuff. Y'all are doing that all month long. And then if you want to come to the full day immersion where it'll just kind of solidify the stuff and give you that extra boost, y'all are more than welcome to come. Let's see. Do we have spots in July camp available? Yeah, we have plenty of spots for July camp. And let me just say this, and then we're going to get to the coaching. With the July camp, I just had a meeting with our event management team, and they are tied into the local, all the things and stuff. We are still on in Nashville, should be in phase 4, which phase 4 means you can have like big meetings and do all the things you want. We just had our meeting about that, and we're still on. If you decide to register for camp and for some reason all things change, we will be refunding people if we have to cancel. So I don't want you guys to be afraid to sign up, but like, well, I wouldn't get my money back. We will do that. Now, if we don't cancel, you will have to sell your own ticket inside the membership. But I am not going to take y'all's money and have to cancel because of the COVID virus and not give you your money back. So don't worry about that part. But yeah, we are still on for July. I feel really good about it. And let me just tell you how I choose to believe. And I know some people are like, no, you shouldn't feel really good about this. I'm like, no, I should. I'm not going to spend the next 6 to 8 weeks in doubt, confusion, worry, and fear. That's a choice. You know what I can do? I can just plan like we're going to have it. You know what else I can do? I can just look forward to it. I can just channel my brain to think really good things and know if for some reason something changes, I can handle it. That's always a much better option than sitting around doubting and worrying and fearing. Always. Now, this is not to say that there are times when Corinne catches herself worrying and doubting and fearing that we can't have July camp. I just remind myself in those, like when you ask me about like, how do you start believing in yourself? I have to believe in July camp, right? How do I do that? When I'm worrying, fearing, and doubting, I also remind myself of what I get to believe. I also remind myself of the new story. And I just rechannel it there. And guess what? Between now and then, I will have a lot of amazing ideas for July camp. All kinds of things, positive things will happen for me, whether it happens or not. That is what is so important for all of you to be thinking about. When you catch yourself in your old thought patterns, I don't care if it's 500,000 times a day, that your brain is hyperactive in the negative. You owe it to yourself to have 500,000 new conversations, channeling your brain into the right direction. And it doesn't even have to be super positive. You can just simply ask a question. Like if you keep overeating, or like, let's say you're sitting through an urge and you're just like, oh my God, this one's so hard. It's so intolerable. You could just keep thinking that shit. Or you could also ask yourself, is there anything I can do to make this easier on myself right now? And you ask that question over and over and over again. And you put your brain to work on how to make it easier for yourself in that moment. You don't let it spiral out in making it hard, because your brain knows that if it freaks out just enough, the donut at the other end of that rainbow. All right, let's do some coaching. Krista, you're up. Did Jacqueline come? Jacqueline, if you're here, raise your hand, because you had talked about binge eating yesterday, and I just want to make sure that I see you, because I said I would coach you if you were here. Where's my girl? Hello, Lisa. Kathy, raise your hand again in a minute. Oh, Krista, yours is having a lot of problems. Raise your hand again. I'll call on you next. Hi.
I got to thank you so much. I just dropped Weight Watchers like a hot potato.
That's funny.
I have probably gained more than I've lost on Weight Watchers. I just could never wrap my head around knowing all of the points and doing all of that other stuff and having to teach all day long. And I got to tell you, I have lost this month 11.2 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm an April baby.
Oh, good.
But my total loss is 39.2 pounds.
Oh my gosh, you're in Queen's Club too. Did you join Queen's Club?
I just joined.
Okay, good, good.
and I kept on looking at it going, but I haven't lost it on PNP, but she says she doesn't care. So I went back and forth.
I don't give
a
fuck. Y'all just pay me in pounds. I don't care where you bought the pounds. Just,
just pay them off.
Most of you have been listening. This is the reason why I feel this way. Number one, weight loss is something that should be celebrated, like not penalized for like not losing with me, right? And I'm going to just tell you, Weight Watchers penalized me because I had lost so much of my weight on my own. I really wanted to be a Weight Watcher leader. So I finished out like online and then the local people told me no. So then I lost 10 more pounds so that I could be a Weight Watcher leader and they still told me no. Like, can you, like, if I was Oprah right now, I would be wanting to punch whoever that was, because I wanted to work for Weight Watchers so bad. And they said,
you would
no.
be totally awesome.
Oh, I know. And I'm like, well, thank God Weight Watchers didn't want me because I created my own fucking empire.
That's right. It's because you speak your mind and you probably wouldn't put up with the bullshit they have to say.
That's right. I'd be like, stop talking about them 0 point snacks.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so over it. So I just have, I mean, my question for you is, I've had a couple of days where, I have made my 24 realistic plan and I've eaten my food and I am just still hungry.
Okay.
And you know, part of that might be I'm borderline diabetic. And so every now and then I tank.
Yeah.
And I put like apples and peanut butter or cheese and apples or vegetables with a protein on my, my snacks. And so I'm just wondering, like in those occasions, is it still considered an overeat if I add to that?
No. Okay. So here's how I would work the system is I would technically track it on your habit tracker as an overeat or just something just so that you can start identifying the pattern of like, oh, I notice it's on these certain days or it's around, like if you just track it, then you can start gaining some like insight and wisdom as to what's happening. Like, is this a blood sugar thing? Is it not? I always track stuff like that. And I'm always willing to do a discovery worksheet on things like that. Cause I'm always trying to figure out the difference between a behavioral pattern based in shitty thinking and a behavioral pattern that's not based in shitty thinking, that's based in like insight and wisdom into your blood sugar, your diabetes and things like that. So I would track it, but I wouldn't consider it like a thought problem necessarily. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're like, if it's like, just, I want you to trust you enough to know, like, I legit need one. I'm really hungry. I need to eat. And like, this is what's right for my body in this moment versus I think I'm hungry and you know I got that diabetes and I could use a snack and you know, I'm also just really wanting to take a break. Like, be aware enough to understand the difference between like, this is what's right for me and my health. And this just like, I'm using my health as an excuse because it would feel really good to have it. So just like, I think that that's so like smart for all of us to do. I would rather you add us, like if it's for my, like on the days I'm legit hungry, I add a snack and I consider that an off plan eat, but I just make a note, like I don't have a problem feeding myself when I'm hungry. Now, if I was bored or like wanting to have a snack to get started on another project, I would want to be tracking that and I would want to know when I'm doing that. The other thing I would do is just create, have yourself a backup list of, in those moments when I know it's a physical need, here are like the list of things that I have agreed to ahead of time that are great options for me that help me feel really good and make me feel healthy. Like I, you know, this is like, basically don't put a bunch of, like a lot of times people will say like, I'm legit hungry, and they'll put protein bars and peanut butter balls and, you know, fun things like that. Yeah. And it's easy to talk yourself into. It's like, just have something that's very sensible that works for you. And that you're like, this is the kind of person I want to be. I want to be the kind of person that when they need a snack, this is the types of food they choose. Like that to me is like the best version of me and the healthy version of me and the future version of me taking care of herself. And she chooses these foods. That's how I would do it.
Okay. Thank you.
This is a good question. And congratulations for breaking up with Weight Watchers, because Azizi is over here in the chat. I think she's been having drama. Everybody's like, oh, and Weight Watchers questioned Azizi. So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right, bye. I'm just picking on you, Azizi. Can't help myself. Sasha Torres. How are you?
Hey, Corinne.
How are you, ma'am? Good.
It's nice to see you.
Yes. What are we going to touch on?
I'm not super prepared because I just kind of jumped on this call because I was doing my planning for the day and I was trying to do a model, and I couldn't sort of get to the thought. So I thought, I know someone who can help me with this.
Well, tell me the story. Where are you at in your model?
So I think the circumstance is, you know, coronavirus. I think it's lockdown-ness. And I'm really having trouble like getting to work consistently on anything. I'm self-employed. I work at home anyway. And I'm just having a lot of trouble concentrating.
Beforehand, did you have trouble concentrating?
No. I'm normally super focused.
Okay. So what?
And I have really good concentration under normal circumstances.
Okay. So I don't think this is I don't think the circumstance is coronavirus.
Okay.
I think the circumstance is like my plan for the day. And the thought is the coronavirus has fucked me up.
Okay. Okay.
Or some version of that, something along the lines like, what are your thoughts about the coronavirus? And in relation to work.
In relation to work, I feel like I'm an introvert. I like the person I live with. I like being by myself. This should not be an issue for me. I shouldn't be distracted and, you know, anxious and all those things. So there's one thought.
I shouldn't be anxious. I shouldn't be distracted. Like we have to drop that part because that's going to create resistance. That's going to create, it's like a little bit of admonishment. Like this shouldn't be a problem. Yeah. And when you focus on it shouldn't be a problem, you try to force yourself to behave in a way that you don't feel congruent with.
Right.
Because it is a problem.
Yeah.
If you're feeling anxious and you're worried and these things are happening, rather than thinking I shouldn't be feeling this way, it's like, I want you to be interested in why you feel this way. The shouldn't prevent you from even asking the question, like, I wonder why I am anxious. I wonder why this is a problem for me right now.
Okay. Well, I think that has to do with the fact that my aunt is in an assisted living facility in New Jersey right now.
Okay.
Where they have COVID cases. And I know I'm really worried about her.
So do you think that's neutral or do you think that's a problem? This is the tricky question.
Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to get to neutrality with that one, I will say.
Well, that's where you're going to, that's when you're going to, like, we need to get to neutral that she is in an, she's in an assisted living home and there's other COVID viruses. You need to just understand that that's just a circumstance in your life right now. That that's not like, and that's really bad. That you have to understand, I am saying, and it's bad, or, and like, cause worry is going to be on the action line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be stemming from whatever you're thinking about that. So what is it that you think about her being there?
I think it's mostly, she has fairly advanced dementia and she doesn't really understand what's going on. I'm having trouble communicating to her what's going on in a reassuring way, which I can mostly
Well, I bet
do.
You, let me ask you this. Are okay. you doing it in a reassuring way or you're like, oh my God, you have dementia. You need to know the problem.
I really hope I'm not doing that.
Conversation more like? Like, just give me like, what would you like, what is like 1 to 2 sentences you tell her?
Well, she's upset that I can't go, that I can't visit her.
Okay.
And so I explained to her that I live in Canada and if I leave Canada right now, I won't be able to get back in or, you know, that we all have to kind of hang out where we are right now. And,
so the reason why I asked you that is because you have a thought that I'm not able to reassure her. She's never going to be able to feel assured based on your words. You're just giving her circumstances. She has to have a thought about it. That's why you're having such a hard time is because you're trying to convince yourself that you have to control her feelings somehow. And you know, because you do the model and stuff, that that really can't happen, even if you kind of keep telling yourself that. That's why it all feels so yucky. So I think that like one thought switch for you is, I can talk to her I am talking to her in a reassuring way. She just may not be feeling that.
Right.
Like get some awareness. I think what I'm noticing is some sloppy thinking and that's all that's happening. That is probably why you're losing your focus and stuff. It's just like cleaning up these little thoughts that are going on.
Okay.
That will give you like clarity, understanding, like you'll know exactly what's really happening in your brain and stuff rather than what happens is when we lose focus at work, it's because our unconscious has these thoughts of like, my aunt's trapped in that facility and I can't visit her and this is really bad. And you'll tell it like that in your brain unless you tell your brain a different story.
Right. Right.
So then during the day, what happens is it's running on repeat, this butcher knife story you got working on your aunt. And yeah, it's not going to be near as focused on work. It's you know, I want you to think about this. If you're creating a catastrophe and an emergency situation with your aunt in your brain will have to prioritize thinking and stewing and doing that. And it will say like, we don't really have time to do all this work stuff. That's not important. You know, we have like doomsday happening over here, correct?
Right, right. Yeah.
And that's what our brain wants to do. It wants to solve for doomsday and wants to get channeled to that. So it's really important for you to clean your story up. Like first is neutralizing the aunt.
Mm-hmm.
She has dementia. She's there. Like I can't leave Canada and stuff. And how do I want to think about all of that? Do I want to think I can't reassure her? It's not a good thought.
Right.
What else could you think?
Well, I could think I'm not in control of her feelings. That's a really tough one for me, but
Well, that's not one to access. If you, like, I want you to think about this. I can't reassure her. What is a thought you could have instead of that one?
I could be with her on the phone and just be with her while she's anxious.
That's a good one.
And then I would feel like I was doing something, and I think I might be able to concentrate after that. You know what I mean? It's just like this very, it's like a distant buzz, you know, and it's mm-hmm. constant.
Yeah. I think it's you each day writing the story around, here's what I'm doing for my aunt. I think your brain is right now hyper on what's wrong with your aunt, what you're not able to do, what you can't do. Like, it's mm-hmm. doing all these things. It's spending zero time on, here's what I can be doing. I can listen to her. Of course she's anxious. She has dementia. Right. She doesn't understand. I probably have to tell her a lot of times. I'm okay with that. Whatever it is, but like, telling that version rather than, I can't reassure her, I can't go visit her. It's like, okay, we know you can't do those things, but what can you do? And it's like letting your brain go there and take some of that action from that place. Also, you can tell yourself, and when I do these things, it allows me to focus. It allows me to, you know, do the other things that are important too. Got to take the emergency signal down in your head.
Right, right. Okay.
I think it's easy for all of us to agree with our shitty thinking right now. Like I want to think like, well, my mom's in Florida. My mom literally, we talked on the phone yesterday, and she was just like, what's bothering me is I can't come see y'all. I can't just leave. And I said, well, you could. You're choosing not to. I said, I want you to really think about this, Mama. I said, would it be easy? Would you risk, you know, like my mom has compromised health and stuff. And I said,
right.
But if you really wanted to be here, you could. But you're in pain because as much as you want to see us, you really don't want to be here because you want to be safe.
Right.
And reminding people of that, of like, okay, I don't have to keep jacking myself up over this. I want to be safe is a much better thought to combat. I can't leave my house.
Right.
Both are true, but one gives you peace. One keeps you jacked up and in the pantry.
Oh, white bread. It looks so good right now. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that is, I'm the only sort of surviving member of our family, my aunt and I, mm-hmm. and so I'm her power of attorney, and so I feel, so in some ways I am technically responsible for her, but I think I've always felt responsible for her. Like, that was just kind of the family dynamic. It's very hard for me to kind of switch that off and go to.
I don't think you have to switch that off, but you're focusing on the wrong, you're focusing on the responsibility like it's a bad thing. Do you love her?
Yes.
Why don't we focus on that part?
Okay. Right.
You know, it's like, well, I'm the only surviving member, and like, I gotta like do this power of attorney shit. Like, your brain is like so focused on that rather than just thinking, I love my aunt. That is why I'm the power of attorney. I love my aunt. Like, that's why I call her. I love my aunt. That's probably why I worry.
Right.
Like, thinking about that more than just like, you know, what a drudgery it is, you know, but notice how our brains, like, I know that that version of the story feels very real. Mm-hmm. You could say like, but I am responsible, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, but you also love her. You also these things. And this side of the story is more important than this one.
Right.
So tell it.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you, Corinne.
Bye. Bye. Let's see. Danielle? I love the way you spell your name, Danielle. She spells it D-A-N-Y-E-L-L. That's awesome.
Yeah, hold on. I'm here.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. And hey. We'll sit down.
Okay, hey. Thank you. Hello.
Hi. So I am a December baby. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling right now because I'm a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. And this week in Texas, they have opened up the state where all of my good judgment and all my thought doesn't think that's the right thing to do. And I am just, I don't know. I'm just struggling with it. And when this all started, my husband, because I hate my job, I hate my job normally. And when this all started, my husband, he supports me quitting. He's supported me not working for a long time. Sorry, my accountability group is texting me. It's nonstop right now.
Okay, I can't see it.
But so the thing I'm struggling with is this week I decided to step down from my job. Okay. And go on LOA because the problem is I was feeling good when the city of Austin was requiring everybody to wear face masks to go into stores. Mm-hmm. And I had this sense of like ease that happened as people started coming in wearing face masks in the stores. And they decided that no longer needed to be mandatory.
Okay.
And so the store I work at isn't making it mandatory. And mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm overreacting, but on some sense.
Well, let me ask you this. You decided to take a leave of absence.
Yes.
In January, did you love this job?
No, I haven't.
So this ain't the COVID virus and the mask being a problem.
It's.
Trust me.
Well,
you're going to want to argue with me that this is the COVID virus and masks. That's your brain's excuse it's throwing up right now is now we have a really good reason to take care of this job we hate.
Yeah. Well, and in January, in March when everything came down with the COVID virus and my first thought was now I can leave. And then I get this, like I have this sense of responsibility because I love my patients and I love at the core what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't love a lot of the aspects of my job.
Okay. So and let me so ask you this.
Yeah.
Are you going to look for another job?
I am. And I'm scared as hell because all the pharmacists I know feel like they're stuck in their job and I don't want to feel stuck because.
But is stuck? So you said, I don't want to feel stuck in my job. Well, you obviously aren't stuck because you quit.
Yes. No, I know I'm not stuck.
Yeah. But this is the thing. If you don't want to feel stuck, is that your job's responsibility or is that Danielle's responsibility?
It's my responsibility wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Cause it's a feeling. Yes.
Yeah.
So like when you're thinking, like, I want you to just kind of slow down. And when you're thinking about all this, like, well, I don't want to feel stuck. You need to remind yourself, oh, that's going to be really easy for me to do. Because the only reason why I would feel stuck is because I would have thoughts about my job. And if I had thoughts that created feeling stuck, I just need to examine the thoughts and figure out the way that I want to think.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, and it's a lot of us like you're just like, and I hate my job. So if you hate this job, you owe it to yourself to figure out why you hated it in your thought line. Because your job can't make you hate anything. Your job is just there, like no masks, whatever it is. Like all of that ends up being circumstances. And then you apply thoughts like things like, it's not fair. That's wrong. Stuff like that. that thought pattern will go to the next job with you. The thought pattern of looking for what's wrong in the job and wanting the job to satisfy you versus Danielle learning how to be satisfied in the job, appreciating the job that she does each day, like pointing her focus and her mental energy on the right things for her versus waiting for the job to be perfect so she can start feeling it like it being easy to think nice things.
I agree with you there to a point, because I think that's honestly how I've approached my job and how I actually, I love what I do is because there's parts of it that I just absolutely love. And there's just other parts of it that I don't know how to get myself to the point where
feel
comfortable with.
Like, just tell me the one part and we'll war game it together.
Okay. I absolutely hate the fact that my company requires me to be on the phone, making phone calls to people, asking them about making their asking them about continuing their therapies. And that is 90% of my job.
Okay. So 90% of your job, the company requires me to, like, this is all the circumstance. Part of this job is calling patients, doing this thing, right?
But it's at the same time as trying to juggle everything else I'm supposed to do.
Right. Like, you're right. But we're going to get to the thoughts that you have. Like, you're going to go to bat for why your job sucks. I promise you. Like, you're going to give but like this 90%, I got all this other shit to do. And that's another thought. I have all this other stuff to do. This, like, calling these things makes things harder.
Yeah. And I feel at times it's hard because I feel at times it puts me in moral conundrums where I have to choose between hitting my district manager's goals for things and actually developing the relationships with patients that I want.
Okay. So let's just say this. So 90% of the time I have to do these things and I'm describing the situation of I'm in a moral conundrum.
But goals I am.
Or relationships. But I want you to think about this. Is that, you think that's a circumstance?
I know that's a thought.
No, you don't.
But
because you just said but to the end.
Well, here's the question though. Is I can say that it's just a thought that I'm having. However, see, I changed the word there.
I'll try to convince, like I can smell bullshit a mile away. Here's the bullshit I smell in your head. I'm going to let her know that I know this is a thought, but technically I've snuck it to my circumstance line.
I don't know how to change it. Like even if it's a thought, I don't know how to change it. So that way,
I would rather you saying. So you just said what you need to know. And this is what, and I want to really point this out so that you can see how pivotal this is. I don't know how to change the thought. Like that is, I would much rather you say it's a moral conundrum for me. And it's a thought. I don't know how to change it versus, but it is like, it's a problem. Like, you're convincing yourself, like, no, I really need to hang on to my painful story. This is the one that broke the model. This is really the way it is. And I don't need you to get out of like being upset and stuff about it right now. I need you to get out of buying your own bullshit for your own sake. Because every time you go and you feel like you're in a moral conundrum, every phone call you make, if it's 90% of your job and it's running on the premise that this is a moral conundrum, probably feels very stuck and shitty.
It does. And normally I can change it and be like, well, but I'm really good at my job. I'm really good at balancing all the requirements that it comes with.
That's perfect for something else. But we got to work on you like really separating from the idea that this is not a moral conundrum first. Like this is why like coming up with happy thoughts around who you are and how you show up and the amazement stuff, that's great, but it doesn't work because every time you make a phone call in your mind, the circumstance is we're in a moral conundrum. And I, you know how I know it's a circumstance? Because you said, even if this is a thought, you ratted yourself out earlier.
but the thing is there are more times, there's times when it's worse than times when it's better. Because it's not like every time I make a phone call, I'm thinking, oh, this is the worst thing I could be doing. It's not that.
But your subconscious does. The story you have, your subconscious, let me just say this. Whatever your subconscious believes, it goes to work on finding the evidence for it.
I can believe that.
Like sometimes you may not be sitting there going, oh my God, this is terrible and I hate this thing. You may just like grab the phone and be like, how many more of these I got to do today? Or you'll go home and you'll just think like, made it through the day. Can't wait for the weekend. Can't wait for my day off. That's where it's showing up. And that's the little ways that it eats away at your soul.
Yeah. And part of it, though, is I feel like I need to prove to myself that I can get a different job. That by leaving this job and actually putting myself out in the world versus holding on to this job because it's the best thing I'm ever going to get. Not true. That's not true.
Yeah.
But I feel like I need to do it because of that. But then I also have all of this, like, I feel like I'm leaving the world in a lurch because right now this is not the best time for me to do this.
Yeah. You got plenty of things to work on, but let's just work on the one thought about the moral conundrum because you're going to get a lot of traction with this one. If you can separate out this one thought and really clean it up and understand it, all these other things of like, I have a thought about leaving the world in the lurch, and I have a thought about this, and I have a thought about this that I am sure feel very true. Once you clean one thing you're locked in on, the rest of them, they can't hide anymore. They can't try to like take cover in the circumstance line anymore. Like, I'm leaving the world in a lurch. The world's going to keep on cranking, whether or not you're a pharmacist or not. I pretty much guarantee you. The world's not going to lurch one bit.
That's true.
That's the sad truth. I could quit PNP today. Y'all would miss me for about a month. Guess what's going to happen after a month? Y'all going to find somebody else on the internet to listen to. Like, at a base level, really understanding, like, oh, that's just something I like. That's the dramatic story I tell myself. It feels pretty bad. But you have to unlock, like, this one over here. And the reason why I want you to do this part is so that you won't take your thinking habits you have around this job to the next one. Because the real problem that we're having is that you think your job can put you in moral conundrums.
Yeah, and it can't, because it can ask me to do as many things as they want to ask me to do, but it is my choice on how many things I do in a given moment.
At any time, just like it was your choice to stay or leave. Like if you decide to hit the 90% calls, it's just a choice because that's what this job requires, which is a very different energy. You may like, I'm not saying you have to like doing the calls. Like, here's the reasons why I don't like doing the calls. I don't like them because they're boring. Like, if I could pick any job in the world, it would be a job that didn't require this. Like, when you clean it up where you take ownership of what you like and you don't, and you move out of, they are putting me in this position, then what happens is it makes it really easy for you to understand the things that are worth going to bat for in a new job, or when you're just like, you know what? Now isn't the best time to be looking for another job. And because I've cleaned it up here that I have choice versus they're doing something to me, I can get through my days a lot easier.
I get that.
More thought downloads, more models.
Yeah. I'm working on those. I'm still new, so I'm still learning those.
Yeah, just keep listening. Betsy's got a call tomorrow night, model calls. Y'all will, like we're doing a model call every month. You will learn, so you can go back in the archives and watch model calls too. You will learn so much watching models getting worked over and over again. I will tell you everything. Like if y'all sit and you think, Corinne makes so much sense. Like, oh my God, I never thought of it that way. It is because I talk in models. I'm always walking you guys through models. And when you get to where you can do them on your own, even sloppily, you change so much stuff for yourself. What I would do if I was you is I would just think about your job and just list out like one at a time, things I think about my job. Like, where do I think that they do things to me? Where do I blame? Where do I, what I don't like and blah, blah, blah. Get that part done. Then do another version where it's like, and these are the things that aren't so bad. Like, these are the things I do love. These are the qualities I bring, so that you have like both sides of your story. Because I think you're really good at understanding the good things. But the problem is like, you don't want to accept that the stuff you don't like is all on you. I think you're like, some of it's on me, but there's really some of this other stuff that's not. And what I want you to have in your back pocket is, I don't have to like everything. But when the things I don't like, I want it to be because I know that's my choice to not like it, not because I think they should do something different.
Yeah. Well, I think where I've hit the stumbling block currently, because I mean, it is, I know you're saying it's not about the masks, but it's because of that notion of, I just don't want to be put into a circumstance where I feel unsafe.
But that's the thought, that this is why it's not about the masks. People wearing masks, people not wearing masks or anything like that doesn't make you feel safe or unsafe. Your thought does that. That's why it's not about the masks. You're still attributing how somebody else shows up in the world to your feeling line. What I want you to see is like, when people do wear masks or people don't wear masks, I either feel safe or unsafe because of how I decide to think about it. Now, if you want to feel unsafe, like, I don't like this, I don't agree with this, and blah, 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 I want you to be in that space, but I want you to be there because you are like, no, my safety is paramount. And here's what I believe. People should be wearing masks. This is when I want to hang on to this, because then that's going to affect my thought line. But you're not doing that. You are saying it's unfair, it's not right, it's all these things. And if that needs to change, like, you're more focused on the circumstance changing than you're focused on Danielle deciding what she likes and doesn't like in the world and taking ownership of that.
Yeah. And in some small way, I've done that because I think I've done that because with me deciding to go on LOA, I've decided that that's my decision, because I know I can't decide how the world shows up for me. And so I've decided that I'm putting my safety first in the next 2 or 3 weeks, because it's so important. Like, looking at the data and looking at the things, you know, looking at trends, I'm like, before, I did a monster job showing up last month. I got everybody on board. I counseled them. I consoled them. I was a badass pharmacist.
Yeah. You still are.
I need to stay home these 3 weeks. It's because I know that I can't show up my best self and my fears are my fears. I get that. It's a really hard time to have all the mental soup without the time to ladle through it all.
Don't tell yourself that lie. Okay. Tell yourself this is the best time to have mental soup, because if I get through this, I'll get through anything.
I will tell you that I'm very thankful for finding PMP when I did. And I'm very, very thankful, because I cannot even tell you, because I was 60 pounds down. Now I'm about 55 pounds down from, you know, my biggest weight. And I keep thinking, oh my God, I'm eating all this bullshit food and my weight's not going up because like all my diet rolls have been thrown out the window because everything changed and all the stress eating came in, but it wasn't stress eating because I started, you know, the whole hunger scale thing where I'm like, wow, if I can just get my hunger scale back, then it kind of, it ironed out all of the crap that I had learned throughout the years that I was trying to get rid of in January when I joined, but didn't even realize I was holding on to.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to point out, you said one of the reasons why you left is like, you've got a story. I just want to give you the new thought so that you don't have to figure it out yourself. I left because I know I can't show up as my best self. Look, you've already left. The story to tell is I've left. This is what my best self does.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to start thinking more about like you being in control, like so much. Like, I want you to watch the call again. I want you to just kind of listen to yourself and listen to how you're kind of telling your story. Like you are a victim of the world, just trying to get through. Like there's these mask problems and my job sucks and I'm in moral conundrums and, you know, I just can't show up as my best self. You're really telling this story in one way that puts you in a victimized position.
Okay.
I want you to go back and I want you to listen to all the things you said. Then I want you to retell it where you're the hero of your story. Like, I decided to leave. It's just the best decision. It's not, I couldn't show up as my best self. It's like, no, I'm showing up for my best self right now. My best self decided right now is the time for me to work on my thoughts.
Yeah.
Like there's so many opportunities for you and you have some, like you've got a lot of glimmers. Like when you talk about like, I was a badass and blah, blah, blah. But you talked about it like I was a badass. You just say, I'm a badass. This is how I showed up last month. So if I can show up as a badass that month, I can show up like a badass this month too.
Yeah.
Like your badassery has not gone away. You talked about it as if that was like a version of you we buried. And we're like remembering her.
I did. Oh my God, I did.
You're going to totally be fine. Did. Have you a good cry. When this call comes up, I literally want you to listen to it. And I want you to just to hear the sense. And I don't want you to judge it. I want you to be like, I'm so glad I got on that call. Because I said a lot of things that I probably have just been thinking and I didn't even know they were in there. And where can I clean up so much of my thinking?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got this.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's see. Let's go with Amaka. I haven't talked to you in a while. Well, y'all coming out. Did Jacqueline ever show up? I just want to know because Jacqueline wanted to talk about binging. And I just want to make sure that if she's here, I told her I would call on her. All right. What are we doing?
Fixing my life. Let's see. So I'm going to talk about my parents. So I had a conversation with them separately and they, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sound good.
They made a comment both like, kind of insinuating that they're ready to retire soon mm-hmm. and that, you know, as the only daughter out of four children that I should be helping them out financially when the time comes.
And yeah.
No.
Let me tell you, when I'm ready to retire, I only got one kid. I'm going to be like, all my eggs are in your basket, son.
I know. But the thought I was having, I like brainstormed a little bit, well, TDL'd a little bit. And I was just kind of, I just thought of everything that's been going on with them. And I don't think it's fair that I have to like basically stop my life to help them out. And the reason why my dad-
Are you going to stop your life?
Well, it brings up to a good point because I talked to them that I decided to take a screenwriting certificate course.
UCLA. Good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like signed up and my dad said, how much does it cost? I was like, enough. Because I'm not going to tell them how much it costs.
You know what I would have said? It's going to cost so much money that all of your retirement dreams, I think they just went up in smoke.
I probably should have said that. I mean, I said it costs, I think it costs, I think I said like a decent amount. And he was like, you know, I'm really, he made a slight comment like, oh, something about me spending money on things and you keep spending money on all these things. When is it going to stop? And I'm just like, and then he kept talking about me helping out. And I just felt kind of frustrated that they keep wanting me not to pursue my dreams in order to help them out or bail them out on things.
Yeah. But why are you frustrated by that? I mean, to me, that seems very normal. Like when I think about humans, like
my parents aren't human.
No, they are. When I think about humans, they always want other humans to behave and act in a way that makes them feel better. Just like you're sitting around, like I'm so frustrated. They want me to like they keep talking about my dreams and blah blah blah. Like if they would just show up in a different way, I could quit being frustrated. Just like your parents are like, I don't know about that, Amaka. Like, we want to retire and feel safe and like somebody's going to take care of us. Them other three bastards probably ain't going to do it. Amaka's the only one we got to depend on. And they're frustrated with you that you're spending their money.
Yeah, but I already did. I think I've done enough for them.
Okay, but then be solid in that. Like, here's how I know you have a problem. It's like, not only do I think I've done enough, but I need you to recognize.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Why can't you just be like, I've done enough for them and I'm just going to let them keep asking.
Then I guess I need help with like how to like to talk to them. Cause I have to, I feel like I don't have to do anything.
I just say, you're right. Like, oh yeah. If I'm going to take care of y'all, you're right. I'll think about my money next time.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like,
why do you like, I know the answer to this.
Okay.
Why do you need them to approve of you?
It's not even approving. It's just the obstacle is already difficult to get to the kind of career I want. And all that, if I want to talk to them, it always kind of turns into conversation about money or.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I just want to talk about like, oh, I went to class with, you know, if I feel like I can't talk to them about things at all.
But you can't. Like, this is what, like, you can talk to them. Here's one of the problem thoughts. I can't talk to them about this. It's like, yeah, you can talk to them about it. Just don't expect them to have the same opinion as you.
Yeah.
So you obviously can talk. You keep trying to talk to them about it. You just want them to get on board that everything you do and think is right. That's not in parents' DNA. That's probably a very high bar that you've set for your parents. I need you to agree. I need you to support. I need you to change your mind. Like your all your belief systems you have about money and what should happen. Like, could you just set all that aside and just agree with me that I'm doing great things?
But they don't even acknowledge like anything I do. I feel like it's just
they don't need to if you're doing the job yourself. My mother never tells me shit. My father doesn't even call me. If he does call me, you know what he talks about? Deer heads. Yeah. Deer heads.
It's better than to say, oh, you know, so and so, she died. I'm like, I don't want to.
I get that too. I always call it news of the dead. My mama gives me the news of the dead, rando people I've never met before. I just don't get upset about it. You know why? I don't rely on my mother and my father's approval and agreeance with my life to feel good at all.
So if I like deal with, so I guess I guess I'm worried about the pressure that I will, well, that's a feeling. Pressured.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm worried about feeling pressured because I'm being ganged up on me, which is
another thought, right?
Yes.
I'm being ganged up on.
Yes.
Rather than my parents don't know how great this is going to be for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a different thought that's totally available. My parents are wrong. God bless them. They think I'm going to take care of them. It'll be funny when I don't.
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking. It's just like, they think I'm just going to like stop everything. I think they literally think, oh, I'm
Let me ask you this. Do they just take a pause and think, do I really believe that my parents think I'm going to stop everything in my life to take care of them? Or do I just don't like, am I creating that story because of what I keep making all of it mean?
I feel like they truly believe that I'm going to continue my current job and career, mm-hmm. Because, and help them out when they retire.
Okay.
I think they think I'm going to give up on trying to pursue a creative career.
Okay.
So is this
what's wrong with that? Why not just let them believe that that's going to happen? Like, honestly, I really want, like, let's just play in fantasy land for a minute. We're going to let your parents think that you're going to give up on your creative career and all this other stuff. Like, and let them just feel at peace. Like, yeah, I got y'all, man. I'm going to take care of y'all. Oh, I know. I'm really working on my money stuff. Like, I get it. All the while you really believe in your creative career and you go full steam ahead and you become successful and all the things. And then one day they're like, I'm so glad you didn't give up that creative career because now you can take even better care of us.
Like, how do I navigate until then? Do I just not talk to them at all?
No, you let them, like, you start going through, like, the last conversation, you pull out all the words they said. That's a circumstance.
Yeah.
The problem is what you're making the circumstance mean. They shouldn't be saying this stuff. They should be supportive. They should. Look, they're not going to be. They don't want to be. And they don't need to be. Like, you need to tell yourself, I don't need them to support me because I support me.
Yeah.
I don't need them to agree with me because I agree with my decisions. Yeah. I don't need them to believe in me because I believe in me.
Yeah.
And then you just like, seriously, if it was like, when it's like my mom always has opinions. My mom is hilarious. I swear to God, I'm going to have to do a live Zoom call with just me and my mother talking so y'all can just get to know Mammy because she's hilarious. She always has all the thoughts and opinions about things. And I'm just like, tell me more. Like, yeah. Really? That's what you think? Like, oh. Like, that's it. Like, it just, like, I just listen to her. I don't get worked up over it. I don't expect my mom to be the expert in my life. Like, you're expecting your parents to either be the expert in your life or to at least be the kumbaya effect. Do you have people you can talk to about your future?
No, I think that's probably an issue.
I think you got about 8,500 of them. If you want it, I promise. People are fascinated by you, by the way. I watch when you post in the Facebook group. It's like, oh, it's a mock-up. They all got opinions and stuff. If you went in there and you talked about, like, so excited about my creative career and you were just, like, talking about it, I promise you, you would have people to talk to about it. You just keep wanting your parents so much to be the ones that you've cut out 8,500 people to talk to about it.
Yeah, I'm working on not feeding, because I know that this is, I mean, this is who they are. And I feel like it's twofold, even though everyone has, all parents are the same in my opinion. But my parents are Nigerian and they were born there. So they are stuck in the computer science, engineer, safety net. Yeah. Like, so I understand, I'm getting better at that. I've always had the, well, it sucks that I'm a girl because now I have so much drama about, I remember being a kid and asked my mom for another daughter so she could take care of her. So knowing this from the beginning, I just want to live my life. And
it sounds like you are living your life. You're just telling yourself you're not.
Yeah, I started doing it. I mean, I signed up for the course for mm-hmm. the, and I just said, okay, I'm going to do it. And
yeah. So now give yourself credit for it and quit waiting for your parents to do it.
Yeah.
How old are you, Mamaka?
Old enough. 30.
Yeah. You're 30 years old. You know what you don't need anymore? Your parents' approval.
Yeah.
you get to just love your parents for who they are. They're Nigerian. They have very, they know what they think is right.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to understand what a 30-year-old American woman who doesn't have any interest in the tech world should be doing with her life. And that's okay. I will say, your energy is really good today. You must be working on yourself some. You're very astute too to your thoughts, like you're pulling them out fast, which I like.
Yeah.
I want you to keep working on believing in you, being your own best friend. Like anything that you keep saying you want your parents to do, you need to ask yourself, oh, wait. Am I doing that? How am I doing that? How am I making sure that happens today? Like every single, use every conversation you have with your parents. This would be really good work for you, actually. I'm a big believer in setting ourselves up to be triggered by our old thinking. Because every time that you allow yourself to get triggered, you start seeing the old thinking really fast and you get an opportunity to redirect, do it different. So every time you talk to your parents, I want you to immediately do a download after about like, what all did I think they should be saying? What all did I think that they should have agreed with me on? All that kind of stuff, because you will have your list each time of everything's like, okay, and how am I making sure I'm doing that for myself? Because the moment you really lock in that, you know, I'm going to be just fine. I love the things I'm going after, all this stuff. You'll be able to let your parents think whatever they want. You'll do it from a place of like, it's funny that they think this. They're just so wrong. Like I can't, like if I was you, I'd be waking up every day going, I cannot wait until I am so successful in my creative career that I can just come and say like, y'all know how you wanted me to take care of you? I got all the money. And I did it writing jokes or whatever it is that like, you know, you want to do, right?
Yeah. I need to work on that.
Yeah. All right. That was a good call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
I could just coach y'all all day. I love coaching. I swear to God. Jacqueline, did you raise your hand? Yep. All right. Let's go. I'm just listening to my son and my husband just to chit chat out there. I don't know what they're talking about. Where are you at? There you are. All right. Let's go. You got to sit down.
I was working.
That's okay. I already let one person get away with walking around a little bit. I was like, girl, she better sit down fast or I'm going to like flip my wig.
No, I was over in the kitchen.
All right, so tell me what's going on. What's your questions?
I just, I've been probably 13 years of being bulimic, binging, just that's my comfort. That's been, and in the self-sabotage where it's, you know, talking about that isn't your comfort and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I went into kindergarten at 150 pounds. My parents owned a catering company. No exercise was ever even in our vocabulary. We didn't do any sports during school, no nothing. So I grew up that literally being so heavy as a young child, and back in the, you know, the late 70s and 80s, you didn't have a lot of heavy girls in school. And if you did, you were definitely an outcast. The only store you could shop at was Lane Bryant.
No shit.
You might have gotten one pair of pants because they couldn't afford to buy you like the rest of your siblings, you know, and get 3 for $10 and stuff. So my whole life I've been sat in the back of the room. I would fail a class just so that I didn't have to walk up in front of people. And so if I go to the grocery now, even like now, my husband's very thin. He's 6'4", 105 40 pounds soaking wet, can eat anything, doesn't gain any weight. Okay. And I can sniff water and gain weight, it feels like. So if I go to the store, I feel free. I feel like I can make the choices I want and purchase what I want. What's the first things I go to? A lot of carbs. And I mean, I do. So then, I mean,
so why is a lot of carbs bad? That's an interesting thing to pull out. Like, I go to the carbs just as if carbs are bad.
It isn't that so much. You have to have more of a balance, but I'm evidently not a, they're just like donuts and cookies and pastries and sweet stuff are very appealing to me. And so even if I get in the car and so I know ask, that I,
let me ask you this. Do you think it's, do you think there's something strange about you thinking cookies and donuts and pastries are very appealing to you? Do you think that's like a Jacqueline problem? Or do you think that's every human being I've ever met problem? I've never met anybody who said like, oh no.
I don't know. I couldn't answer that because I don't know enough people and follow what they eat. I just know what it, that it puts a lot of weight on me.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Like, I really want you to just suspend your story for a second. Donuts, cookies, and pastries. Is it possible that lots of people also like them?
Yes.
And that's a normal reaction?
Probably. Now, if I was to buy, go just hypothetically, I go to the store, I buy a dozen donuts. Mm-hmm. I'm one person. I should buy one donut, but I buy a dozen. Why? Because it's cheaper. But before I even get home, I can have that dozen donuts gone.
Right, because you're telling yourself that it's really abnormal. Like, you've got a big story. That is why you do end up eating them.
Why like
you
is that?
Think they're, because you think they're wrong. You think it's wrong of you to buy 12 versus one. You're only one. You have a lot of, like, admonishing stories about food and you. That's why I think it's just, like, really important for you to do the self-sabotage work. Because, like, you told your whole story as if, and that's why I am the way I am today.
Even like if I go to the grocery store and I know that I'm in my car, every restaurant I pass, I think of, I could have this here and I could have that there and I could do this and I could do that. And so for the last 3 days, because I started your sabotage thing the other day, and I went to the grocery store this morning, bought rotisserie chicken. I even picked up cookies. I put them back down.
Okay.
I bought almond milk. I bought eggs. I bought yogurt, but I bought plain yogurt. I'll sweeten it with stevia. I did, and I never ended up with anything bad. I was in the vehicle on my own after listening to the self-sabotaging stuff, but it's so hard to, and then I'll sit there at night. It's really hard, and I'll go, well, what could I eat? What could I eat? And then the other part of me, the little devil and the angel thing, and the other part of me goes, you don't really need anything. You're not hungry. And then the other part goes, yeah, but such and such sounds good, you know?
Okay.
And
I just, let me stop you here. All of what you just told me is what all of us go through. I really want you to understand this. Because you're telling all of this as if this is a very unique problem to you and that like other people don't experience this. And, but let me tell you what else I do. And let me tell you what else I do. And let me tell you what else I do as if like I need to prove I'm broken. You're really going to bat for how broken you are. That is at the crux of all of this problem. And what I want to present is that everything that you're thinking is very normal. I will promise you, Jackie, is it Jackie or Jacqueline?
Jackie. Yeah.
I never drive down Nolensville Road where there's a Sonic and a McDonald's and barbecue and everything, and my brain automatically thinks what would be good at each one. I don't drive by them thinking, I'm past all that. Like, you know, I'm in the glory land now. I wonder if they have a salad. That's never the thought. Ever. The only reason why I tell you this is because we've got to break that, like, we need to understand how you think. I think all of that's super important. But the overarching theme is that all of this thinking is bad. And I want you to just start getting really aware of your thinking, and it's no longer bad. It just is. These are just the things I think. I drive down the road. I think about all the food that would be really good and how much I could eat it. That's just what my brain's doing right now. Not, oh my God, this is a problem. This is what bulimics and this is what anorexics do. And if I hadn't have grown up like I did, none of this would be a problem. Tell me your thoughts.
And see, well, I mean, it's just hard because my mom died of obesity. And the nurse at the hospital said she did you a favor by showing you what not to do. So get a hold of yourself. And I'm just like, I've watched you for the last couple of times for opening, and I listen to it and everything, and I start up in the morning and I'm like, I'm good. I'm going to do good today. I start out on my paperwork. I can honestly tell you, I don't even know where to put a period at the end of the sentence. I'm so bad with English that I printed out this book and I look at it because I'm like, I don't understand a lot of the letter, you know, the stuff that I'm supposed to put onto the paper. I'm not sure how to get from point A to point B because I'm not real good with English. I'm just not. And
well,
so
the good news is to lose weight, good English is not a requirement. Because
yeah,
so I ain't good with the English either. That's why I got Kathy. She proofreads and writes everything for me.
Well, I was speaking to a lady in the group from like the Netherlands or something. Mary Jane, I think it's Holland or something like that. And she was like, I try to decipher what you're texting because I don't know how to use the right punctuation. So when I look at this paperwork, I'm like, I'm not really sure even... I don't even understand when you explain what a model is. A model to me is a person that walks on a runway, you know? Yeah.
Well, now we're going to also learn that a model is easy for you to figure out rather than, well, I'm not good at English and I'm not good at this. Like, I want you to listen to phase two of the No BS over and over and over again, like it's your job. And the pathway to happiness. It's just like, I will promise you, the only thing that I'm seeing that we have to start working on first with you is identifying how to start talking to yourself better. And that does not require good English skills. That does not require knowing where commas and periods go. And that's your planner. Who gives a fuck if you've got, like, if you saw... For God's sakes, this is me yesterday. I didn't even put periods or anything on here. Taking notes. Like, we have to drop all the story that you have around why this is so hard for you.
Well, like when you say, you know how you have like one column and another column and you say something's unintentionally or intentionally or whatever. And I'm like, I don't have a clue. I don't even know.
Have you listened to phase two of No BS?
Yes, but I don't... I don't know how to come up with my answers, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't know where I'm supposed to grab these answers from because I'm just, when you're talking to me, I'm just like, I literally am like blank. I'm like blank. I don't know how to put down what I'm trying to say on paper, I guess.
Okay, let me ask you this. When you go to the store and you see cookies and you think, I shouldn't have those, right?
I should not.
Right. Okay. So I should not have those. If you could think about those cookies in any other way that would help you lose weight, what could you think instead? Because I should not have those cookies feels probably depriving or wrong.
I feel that the cookies cannot, because like, I have everything here, pastries, donuts, cupcakes, okay. Everything here. And I'm going out of my mind because he can eat all that stuff and I can't. And
okay.
I, and, And the reason why is because you eat that, you'll be in another bigger pair of pants. You've already gotten two more bigger sizes. We need to go the other way on the scale, not up. Okay.
All right. So when we see, when you and I are going to Kroger, we're going to go to Kroger together. Do you have a Kroger?
Yep. That's where okay. I just went. Just
all right. Good. You got a Kroger. And we're going to go through the bakery and we're going to see cookies and pastries and cakes together. And you're going to say to me, girl, you know, my husband, he can eat all that. I can't even smell it without gaining 10 pounds. That probably feels unfair or bad or whatever. And I'm going to look at you and say something different. Because I don't want my friend to feel bad and I don't want her to feel deprived. So what do you think I might tell you in that moment?
Have one.
No. The whole point is for us to get through the pastry thing and we're not going to eat the pastries. We're not even going to have the cookies and stuff. But we're walking through and your thought is, my husband can eat all these. See, have one comes from the idea of the only solve is to eat the food, to feel better.
Right.
And what I want to present to you is that we can move through the bakery and we can feel better at the end without the cookie. So what do you think I would tell you? Like if we're friends and you just told me that your husband can eat cookies all he wants and never gain weight and that you shouldn't have these. What do you think? Because I didn't want you to feel deprived and I didn't want you to feel bad. What do you think I might tell you to think instead?
You don't need them? I don't know.
Well, that's one. That's one thought is like, girl, we don't need these.
I literally don't know what you said. I don't.
You just gave me the exact thought. Like, I want you to imagine if you went to the store and every time you tried to think about how hard pastries are and how your husband can eat whatever he wants and like all of that hard stuff, if every single time you said, but we don't need them.
Right.
How would you feel?
Deprived.
Okay.
I want it. It's the same way that you feel about the 20-year-old men that you can't have but you like to look at. That is my 20-year-old man. Like that.
But I don't feel deprived when I don't fuck them.
I probably would, but no,
I never sit around and go like, I'm so deprived. It's so unfair.
Yeah.
Should be able to scream.
It's comfort to me. It makes me feel home. It makes me feel.
But that's the problem that we're having. Is you're thinking the cookie gives you the comfort. And what I'm telling you is the cookie's not giving you the comfort. You start thinking, this is what I need to do to feel comfort. Rather than, you know what? I'm learning how to not let cookies be the only comfort I have in life.
Okay.
And this is the thing. When we go through the store and we walk through the pastries, and we say, but we don't need it, and you still feel deprived, then that means that that sentence doesn't help. So we need to find a sentence that doesn't make you feel deprived. It's not the cookies and the lack of having them that's making you feel deprived. It's the way you talk about not having them is what makes you feel deprived.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So it's how you say it, not the actual item.
Right. Right.
Oh, okay.
So we're back in our aisle and your thoughts are, I just want it. My husband can eat anything he wants and he never gains weight and I shouldn't even have these, but I just want it. We just have to start practicing things that you could think in that moment because you're going to think this thousands and thousands. You'll think these thoughts as many times as you've ever thought them in your life until you rewire the story. We just have to think about something that will allow you to feel comfortable with your decision to not eat it.
Okay.
Like for some people, what works for them is like they would walk through and they would have those thoughts and they say, but today I'm not eating them. Maybe tomorrow, but not today. I'm just going to stay really focused on not having them for today.
Okay. See, and that's kind of what, when I went to the store, like I said, I didn't grab anything bad. I didn't. And everything that I grabbed was what I wanted. And then I forgot eggs, so I had to go back in again. Mm-hmm. And I went back in there, and even the second time, walked right through the bakery area and never even thought about it the second time. But I did, like I said, and then I watched people pick up fudge brownies, and I'm like, and the one part was, yeah, you can. The other part was, no, you're not. And then I was like, I knew what would happen. It doesn't matter if I get one or even Starbucks. I could have gotten Starbucks today. Why didn't I do it? Because I knew that it was calories that I didn't need. It was something that, and I was like, nope, you're not going to do it. You need to save.
I think you have a very powerful thought that you're not giving yourself credit for, and you just need to use it more often. Which is, you already have a very powerful thought that you're using that you're not giving yourself credit for. And I think you need to use it more often, which is, I don't need that. I may want it, but I don't need it. Okay. And like telling yourself like, and it's very normal to want these foods, but right now I don't need it. And I'm just choosing to do what I need to do for myself today. Like really taking it all the way down to like a day-to-day level, reminding yourself of those little things. And I want you to keep working on this stuff. I want you to like really go through No BS. I know that you think that like you're not good with English, but I want you to do the worksheets no matter what. It won't matter. Can you read your writing?
Oh yeah. I just can't understand the questions. In order to answer a lot of them, in order to answer something.
Take guesses. I'm going to tell you, there are people in here who are fucking professors and doctors, and they've got all kinds of like degrees, and they will come on here and say, like, I just don't understand that question. You know the reason why most of us don't understand the question? It has nothing to do with the English. It has everything to do with we're terrified we're not going to lose weight. And when we're reading the questions because we're scared we can't lose weight or that we're so messed up or whatever, we'll read the question through the lens of confusion already before we even read the question. Because you have answered, like literally every question I've asked you are things that are in the program and you've answered them just fine. I know you understand English.
Right, just not on paper. The questions on paper, like what you... When I go to write down what I had and then I don't know the word, what unintentional and intentional means. I didn't understand. When I've listened to you like coach and then you'll say, well, they'll say something about unintentional. And then the difference between those two, I don't have a clue.
I'll tell you real quick. Unintentional means shit. My brain thinks that ain't going to help me. Okay. So the unintentional thoughts are, my husband can eat anything he wants and never gain weight. My mama taught me how to eat poor. I only could shop in Lane Bryant. Like all of that is unintentional thinking. It's like, let me ask you this. This will make it really clear. If you could choose to think anything you want, the story you told me, would you want to keep all of that every single day? Or would you be like, if you could just trade me out a new brain that thinks amazing things and believes in itself and knows what to do, would you take that brain?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So everything that doesn't feel like is helpful is an unintentional thought. That's it. That's all it... unintentional everything means like I just wouldn't want it. Like if somebody was trying to sell me this shit, I wouldn't buy it.
You said unintentionally is everything that's a bad thought is unintentionally?
It's not bad thoughts. It's thoughts you wouldn't choose.
Okay. Okay.
We don't really have bad thoughts. It's just like there's no bad food. There's like zero bad foods out there. There's just food. Some of them you've decided are bad. Some of which you've decided are good. And like when I look at foods, I don't think of them as good or bad. I'm either eating it or I'm not. It either gets me to my goal or it doesn't. Like it's not good or bad. Same thing with thinking. Yeah. There's no good or bad thinking. There's thinking that helps you get towards your goal, and there's thinking that slows you down. Okay. That's it. So like, for all of you, because a lot of you get really hosed up on the difference between unintentional and intentional models. Your unintentional model thoughts, if somebody tried to sell you that thought, would you pay for it? Or would you be like, it's a no? Your intentional thoughts, you'd give them $5 every single time. Like, I'll take that thought. I'll take that thought. If I could just think that, my life would be easier. I'll buy that. Just like if I'm walking through the pastry aisle, do I want to be thinking about how much food my husband can eat and how unfair it is and how hard it is for me? I would never purchase those thoughts. Right. Like, you would just be like, shit, no. Where's the aisle where all the thoughts are like, I don't need this? Where's the aisle where I can buy the thought of I'm in it to win it with my health? Where's the aisle where I believe in myself? I would like to go peruse those items.
That sounds like, I mean, I'm going to work on it real hard. Like I said, several times I was going to give up, several times I wasn't even going to join. And then I'm like, I need some kind of help because I'm afraid that I'm going to continue, because I was over 400 pounds, but I got all the way down by being bulimic and anorexic. Yeah. When I got to the 155 pounds, I thought I was invincible. And I thought that I could eat whatever I wanted, and I couldn't. And I gained all that weight back. Yeah. So now I'm up over 200 again, and I need to get down the correct way, because I don't want to die. I hear that whole thing in my head over and over again. I'm doing damage to my organs. That isn't enough to make me say, wake up, come on, you know, you got to stop.
That's because it's demeaning. Nobody wakes up to, like, nobody, like, starts doing things for themselves because they're slapping themselves around with demeaning thoughts. Like, right, like, let me just give you, like, the unintentional is I'm killing myself. I'm doing damage to my organs. That's an unintentional thought. An intention, like, if we were going to, like, say, like, would you, like, I have an amazing deal for you, Jackie. For only $3 today, you can purchase the thought of you're killing yourself. Would you like it?
No.
Right. But if I came up to you and said, I've got an amazing deal for you today. For $3, I can offer you the thought of this is going to be so worth it. You're improving your health.
That's what PNP is to me. That's why I joined, because yeah. I knew it was a positive thing that I needed. You know, my whole life has been so down that, and loss and heartache and, you know, sadness and depressed and, you know, depression and everything, that I needed this bad. And I would come across to you over and over again. I'd say, she's talking to me again, you know, and that's why when I came on and you said, was Jacqueline here? I'm like, oh, she can't be talking about me. And then when you said binging, I'm like, oh crap, she is, you know? And so
I remember all the shit. Let me just tell you.
It's a wake up for me. But I guess also I look at the fact that, you know, I don't know the way you ate when you were younger. And I don't know, you know, Mary Jane's way of eating when she was younger. And I don't know these. So I would never think in my mind that you could be walking down the bakery aisle too, thinking the same thoughts of me as me. And you could be, you know, rummaging through the same, you know, things I am and going, what do I do here? Because everybody in the family's been but me, you know, and be yeah. like, why don't you wear makeup? Why don't you wear this? And why don't you, men would like you if you did this. And, you know, guys, when I was younger, guys would, and I'm like, but I'm fat. And that's, it, yeah. you know, that keeps. That
do you
keeps
know my them. Story?
Huh?
Have you heard my story? I mean, our story yeah. is almost identical.
I know I have. And I did. That's what first started it.
Okay. But, I just want to make sure you really understand. Like, I want you to really make this connection. How old are you?
I will be 57, July okay.
4th. Oh, really? I'm July 12th. I'll be 46.
Oh, nice. Both cancers.
So we're about, yes. So we're like 10 years apart. And we have very similar histories. Very similar. And the only...
See, I even tried to follow like the 12 steps because my parents are both alcoholics.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't smoke. I don't drink. I think it's out of fear more than anything to what I've seen.
Why don't you just tell yourself this? You know why? Like, you get to decide why you're not smoking and drinking. I wouldn't even say, I think it might be out of here. You know what I would just tell myself? I don't smoke and drink because I don't want to. Because that's also the truth, right?
Right.
I mean, do you have delicious cravings for alcohol and cigarettes every day that you're battling through? Or is it like, right, exactly. So I just, here's an easy, like, here's one of those thoughts I have for sale. You know why I don't smoke and drink? I don't want to. It doesn't matter why. You know what? It matters. Every fucking day, I don't want to do it. I'm a baller like that. I don't smoke and drink. Like, I would just tell that story.
My husband is an alcoholic also, and he would rather drink than eat. And we deal with that on a pretty much regular basis, too.
Yeah.
And so I see, and I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, another drink. And he's like, I see no point in eating. I said, well, I see no point in drinking.
Yeah.
You know, and our, his birthday is the same time too. So we're, he has his birthday and my birthday are the same. We're just completely opposite as far as the week goes. But I just wanted this to be for me. I didn't care about anybody else. That's why I joined, was because I needed to find out what it is that I'm missing. I'm watching all these.
Oh, you're freezing up. I think your internet just went down.
Be successful. I want to, before I am, you know, 5 and 7 are my lucky numbers. So I felt that by the time I'm 57, I want to be what I see, my future. I want to be that. And I just didn't know how to get there.
I think for you, just keep, I tell everybody this, this is not a Jacqueline thing. I want you to every day, I want you to spend a little time listening to phase two of No BS until like it starts kind of making some sense. Allow yourself to listen to it, though, not from like, this is going to be confusing. That model's really hard. I don't really understand these things. I just want you to every single day say, think this. It will make sense eventually. I just need to hear it enough. It will make sense eventually if I hear it enough. That, like, because I, like, and I, don't y'all all get in the chat and chastise me. I am not really smart.
You sure seem like it.
I seem like it because I study really hard. I have to study harder than most people. But I don't sit around and tell myself all the time, you know, you're going to have to study really hard because you're not smart. You know what I tell myself? Determined to understand this.
Okay,
but I am not like, and I don't say I'm not smart in a demeaning way. I'm saying it more as if like learning things does not come easy for me. Maybe. And I have to study like, you know, like my best friend, she's wicked smart. In fact, most of my friends are wicked smart. They can read one book and they can understand it and like know it just like that. I have to read at least 5 books on the subject, take notes, talk about it, go back and read my notes, and maybe listen to the book on audio to understand
it. Yep,
yeah.
That's me, 100%.
And I'm just willing to do it. I just don't, I'm not willing to tell myself bad things about me. And I just want you, like, no matter what, we've talked about a lot. I just want you to just say, like, I am going to figure out how to like me more. And I am going to figure out how to believe in me more. And that's what I'm working on. And that's what I'm going to do. And whatever it takes, that's what I'm doing. And I think that will help a lot. Okay.
That's perfect. Yeah. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're
welcome. And I think you're beautiful inside now. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You're welcome.
Bye bye. Okay. Well, it's like everybody's sitting here going, oh, me too. I'm going to call it at that. I actually have a headache all of a sudden. I know I'm drinking all the water, but I have my window open. I think I've got to like be mindful of the pollen stuff. So I'm going to go take some headache medicine. But thank you for everyone. That was such good calls today. I don't know. We had really good conversation today. So I appreciate everybody being vulnerable and being honest and showing up. And don't forget the rest of our calls this week. We also have some quick hit videos you guys are going to start getting. So All in April is done where I'm doing the little lives, but we are going to be giving you guys little bitty videos on the days that I'm not coming to you live of me just like refreshers of things, quick hit like lessons and stuff like that, so that you have those too. So y'all have a good week. I'll talk to you soon. Bye y'all.